2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
What's up, everybody? It's another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, taking the handoff from Jeff Kaplan's afternoon news here. It's your Friday. It's your Friday evening. Scott, it's the end of the week for us, but the weekend is when we really do our work. And when I say work, I mean we watch a ton of football on TV. And that's our job, buddy.
And it's a great job to have, by the way. And, of course, this is one of the best weekends of football, probably. Well, it is the best weekend of football all year long, and there's going to be some great NFL games, and so it should be fun to watch.
Well, I was thinking about it, too. And with the – I mean, it's such a weird year. You think about how different things are with no fans. It makes the home field advantage different. And so this is like just a ripe weekend. At the end of everything, though, I wonder if you're just going to end up with the totally predictable – you know, like Tom Brady in the Super Bowl after the weirdness of this year, to have Tom Brady back maybe in the Super Bowl again. And you just go, well, it's same old, just a different team. We're going to talk about all this. So many playoff things to discuss. We want you to jump in the conversation. 57500 is the text number on the UCCU credit union text line. It's a easy one to hit. So just, you can get to Scott. I'll read all the mean texts you send in to Scott. I'll read them right to him. Because we got to get used to those. You know what I mean? So, by the way, it's a 705 cut, so let's just jump in right here.
The cut at 705. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Jazz tipping off across the street, right now against the Atlanta Hawks as well. So you got Jazz, you got the Jazz game going on right now. You've got, all sorts of NFL games. Our troll poll question of the day is an Urban Meyer-centric one. We're going to talk a lot about Urban Meyer in the second hour. Jeremiah Jensen is going to join us in a little while as well, and I'm curious on his reaction on it. Put up the poll already. Have a couple hundred votes as we start the show here. So I feel like that's a good sample size, Scott. What will Urban Meyer's NFL coaching career look like? Currently the leader is up and down, which is just middle of the road, I guess. But as we find out that news, Urban Meyer, on top of all this, he got that gig down in Jacksonville. So I'm curious your thoughts on that. We're going to jump into that next hour. But as things kick off now, I am so excited about this weekend. You know what I did today? Here's how excited I am, Scott.
I can't wait.
I went back and watched Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield when they played each other in college.
You watched that game.
I watched that wild game. I didn't watch the whole thing, but one of those like extended 15-minute highlights. And it was ridiculous to watch these guys do whatever they wanted. And it's so fun to see now that they're playing each other and they're a game away from going to the conference championship game in their respective conferences. And so I look at that game first and foremost as the one that I want to see this weekend. And that's knowing that there are two old guys in Drew Brees and Tom Brady also set to play. I'm more interested in that Chiefs-Browns game that's going to be happening in Kansas City.
So here's what – there's a lot to be interested in. First of all, what the NFL has done. And really, if you look at every single team in the playoffs right now, I think any one of them could win the Super Bowl. And that's the great thing about the NFL. A lot of people complain about it, but you get really competitive games, as you saw last week. You know, I think pretty much every game was competitive. And so you, as a fan, like that. But here's another thing that I think is interesting is – who, because with not having fans, that takes all that away. And that's an advantage. Normally that's an advantage, but it's not right now. But the advantage is the Chiefs and the Packers had a week off. And I want to see if they come out rusty or if they come out like sharp.
We've seen both. We've seen both over the years. Yeah.
Yes. And so that's a fascinating thing to me because I think they're the teams with the best record. And so, You would logically say they're the teams that are supposed to go to the Super Bowl. And the other thing is it's just so cool how they've got the young quarterbacks and they got the old quarterbacks. I mean, under 25 young and over 40 old, which is an insane spectrum of time, especially in the NFL. And it will be another like storyline or something fascinating to look at to see, can Tom Brady play three games to get in the Super Bowl? Can Drew Brees play three games to get in the Super Bowl? Because I think that's a real factor. I think their age, I think the fact that they've gone through an entire football season and they've done it for years, and can they hold up with having to play that extra game to get in the Super Bowl? So that will be – clearly one of them won't because they play each other, but it'll be a fascinating thing to see of the geriatric generation, which one of those guys actually emerges on top.
I just, and again, all these games that are going on, I get so excited about these games that are going to be happening. And I look, and if I was to choose like the best game, I told you that Browns and Chiefs one is really piquing my interest. But the reality is there's something intriguing. I'm going to just roll out the worst game in my mind, though. And it's that Packers-Rams game.
And why is that the worst game?
Because the only team in all of this that I feel is like the biggest imposter are the Rams.
You are such a Seattle Seahawks.
No,
oh, my goodness.
No, it has nothing
yes,
to it, do.
It's, you're so
it has
jaded.
Nothing to do
this
with that
This team was in the Super Bowl
week.
A couple of years ago. This is a really good defense, and if they can find enough offense.
And that's it.
No, it's not. Look, the playoffs, they kind of found a little bit. They found enough. And, look, do you know how hard it is to throw a football with a broken hand? I mean, that's a tough thing for Jared Goff.
I know. So, bad football game.
No, it really doesn't. And it feels to me this year in the playoffs in general, it just feels like this is going to be an odd year. And you know, COVID and everything going
certainly
on, no fans.
Been, yes.
And that's why a team like the Rams, to me, it wouldn't surprise me if they go to the Super Bowl. And it wouldn't surprise me if the Buffalo Bills go to the Super Bowl. I'm just telling you.
You're just covering all bases saying, I could see any of these teams going to the Super Bowl.
Well,
I'm telling you, because I can't see Baltimore there. I can't see the Rams there. I can't see Cleveland there really either, even though I would love to see that. But there are a bunch of teams.
Cleveland's a team that just continues to get better and better, and you don't know where their ceiling is. And so you don't know if you've seen their best football or not. I mean, yeah, they're a very inexperienced playoff team, but they're a team that finally believes that it can win, and they've got a pretty good defense, and they have weapons offensively, and they do. And so, I'm going to disagree with you on this one, and the fact that I think more of these teams have a shot than you think, and I think with the way the season is, you just can't rely. You can't go, Tom Brady's going to go win the Super Bowl, and you can't just say, well, Patrick Mahomes, because they went last year, and they're not a lot different this year, they're going to go to the Super Bowl as well. My gut just tells me I just don't feel like the obvious choices are the teams that are going
to
be there.
Okay, quick, before we get out to the break then, let's do some quick picks on these games for this weekend. And let's start with that Rams and Green Bay matchup. That's the first one tomorrow, kicking off at 2:30. What do you have for the Rams traveling to the Packers?
27-17 for the Rams.
27.
Yeah.
You're going to double down on your thoughts on the upset that they're
observing what right. I see is all right. I'm doing.
Let me go a different direction.
You make fun of me, but then all of a sudden
fun.
You go,
I just
you know what? This guy actually was kind of right.
Yeah, last weekend was all you were doing was picking against my Seahawks to get at me. That's fine.
I'm still picking the Rams, and they're not even playing the Seahawks.
Okay. I'm going to go with the Packers winning 38-17.
No,
that is
not going
to
score 38 points that on the Rams.
Scott, it is Aaron Rodgers. He does whatever he wants.
Whatever.
Okay, 38-17. There.
Yeah,
you
wait
go.
Till Aaron Donald hits him about four or five times, and he will not be
Aaron
doing.
But see, we don't know how healthy Aaron Donald is.
Oh,
either.
He'll play.
All right. Oh, he'll play. Scott Mitchell, the team trainer, apparently for the Green Bay Packers. All right. Baltimore and Buffalo. That's your evening game on NBC tomorrow.
The Bills are going to win.
I like that pick too.
In fact, this
any
might
scores,
be a game that's not even close. This might be the one blowout game.
See, and yet, I thought Baltimore had no business going into Tennessee and beating the Titans. I thought the Titans, they were going to win at least a game. And they were, it was shocking. Baltimore showed up. They had a game plan. They made adjustments. I think it'll be closer. I think, and Buffalo was close last week with the Colts. I'm going to go a 28-24 Buffalo over the Baltimore Ravens. So, okay. And then the last two games on Sunday, the Cleveland Browns and the Kansas City Chiefs. What do you have?
I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Okay. What's the score?
I think the Browns. I just don't think the Browns are mature enough.
Now, when they faced each
yet.
Other in college, it ended up 66-59.
Yeah, it's not going to be that way.
Oh, okay.
But it'll be fairly high scoring. I'll say the Chiefs are 35, the Browns are 24.
No 734 passing yards for Patrick Mahomes.
There'll be a decent number of yards. Yeah.
And then finally, the two old men face off. It's a dinner time matchup. Normally, they'd be eating their dinner at this time for 4:40 on Sunday. What do you have for these two older guys?
Well, and it's just whoever can finish the game. I mean, you know, and I don't think it's by any coincidence that they gave these two guys the most amount of rest this week to be able to play. I'm just telling you,
what
NFL
do you got?
Does stuff
what do you
like
got?
This. I got the. You know what? I'm going to go with the Bucks. I just feel
you.
Like the Bucks are going to beat them.
Drew Brees is
2 years past.
Drew Brees rides off into the sunset, becomes a TV commentator, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time this weekend. All right, taking the break here. That, of course, The Cut, brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED, sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a free trial. We'll be right back when we return. It's the Friday Freestyle. All sorts of weird stories that caught our attention. Plus, I'll give you an early Jazz score update. Stay with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
Hey, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery here. I've come across something that actually is going to make me sleep so much better tonight, Alex.
Is this one of those endorsements there, Scott?
No, this is news to know, and it's things that, you know, will give your life clarity and calmness and peace. And would you like to know what it is?
Feels like an endorsement. Is it some
no,
sort of a mattress?
No, it's not an endorsement. Okay. Although there are some things. let me just say it this way. There are some things that we endorse that help me out. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, all right.
And they do make me sleep better at night.
There you go.
This is the news. Tim Tebow is not going to be joining Urban Meyer as a player or as a coach. He's still going to be doing the baseball thing. Whew. I'm so glad
for
that.
So wait, now, is it because they're inseparably connected still from their time together at Florida? They're still best friends? Because I'll tell you right now, what would he join Urban Meyer in Jacksonville as?
He can't, a coach?
But coaching what?
You know, maybe he coaches the coaches.
He'd give the spiritual thought on game day. That's
maybe
what he
could be the team chaplain.
There you go.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that.
You know, Luther Ellis, who was a great player for the Utes.
Yeah, was he one of your teammates up at Utah?
No, he was a teammate of mine in the NFL with the Detroit Lions.
That's right.
He was actually the chaplain for the Denver Broncos when they won their Super Bowl, by the way.
What does the team chaplain for an NFL team do, buddy?
He's a spiritual advisor.
All right, guys, we're going to be meeting.
To
I know
the players.
We've changed a few things up. The cheerleaders are scantily clad in the south end zone. We're going to meet in the north end zone for the prayer.
Surprisingly, team chaplains are very popular.
All right.
Very popular.
Is there a bonus worked in the contract? Or is that a volunteer position?
I think they're paid.
No, really?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
I like this.
Well,
I'm going to start applying for all the chaplain
Tim Tebow, he'd be a great chaplain.
Oh, are you kidding? Because he would be seamless between motivational locker room talk, which you tell me. Does motivational locker talk happen in the NFL still? Because in my mind, it's a bunch of guys who are just pros and do their gig. And I feel like that by the time you get to the pros, the you know, the spirit-raising speech by the coach doesn't happen anymore.
Here's the thing. Every NFL team I played on had a prayer.
Yeah. I get that.
They had a prayer before the game, and they had a prayer at the end of the game, and the prayer was the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
Okay? So it was like
it was
I
universal
can,
across
I can
the board,
recite the Lord's Prayer because I've had to say it so many times.
Yeah, but I'm saying, does a coach get up in front of everybody and still do the rah-rah speech? Because Urban Meyer, that's kind of his gig.
So here, all coaches are different, right? Coach Shula, actually, he wouldn't necessarily – he would go – you know, he'd talk in this fast-paced voice, but he said the same exact thing every week, right? And it was and so what he was is he was just an ultimate preparer. So you were so prepared when you went into a game, and so it was always that last-minute reminder, and that's what he did every week, right? But it was kind of his way of saying, this is that moment, this is where we go out. Every guy is different, but every guy is the same, and they're different in how they're motivated and what gets them motivated. Some guys need to hear a coach. Other guys listen to music. Other guys get really quiet. But everybody gets motivated. You have to be in a mindset. You have to it's like you're driving down the freeway and someone opens the door and you jump out. And so your feet better be moving, right? Because if not, you're going to just get run over.
That's the weirdest like description of what an NFL playing in an NFL game is like.
No,
that's how it would feel, because that's about how hurt you'd get too if you've never.
But I'm telling you, is the minute the game starts, it is fast paced, and the biggest adjustment for anybody is how fast the game is. Everybody's going at their like the very hardest, the fastest they could possibly go. And so stepping into that, like everything's calm and great on the sideline. And the minute you step on the field, the minute that first snap happens, I'm telling you, it's like getting dropped out of a car going 55 miles an hour, and your feet better be moving. So however you get motivated, Alex, whatever floats your boat, whatever charges your engine, you use it. And every guy would use it. Now, some guys actually, you know, get old and they're so old that they're like, whew, I can't really get motivated. And so I'm just saying, never happened to me, but I did see a lot of players have assistance in getting themselves excited about going and playing a football
now,
game.
Now,
we're talking about drugs.
Yeah. Okay, we're talking about recreational drug use. Yeah. Illegal drugs.
Well, I don't know.
I
don't know of illegal drugs, but it was like drugs that kind of, you know, pepped you up a little bit.
Were guys drunk playing football games?
All the time.
Oh, my gosh.
In fact, people can play in the NFL.
People so can Bruce play in the
Smith,
NFL.
Bruce Smith, Daryl Talley, and Thurman Thomas were drunk for 15 years.
Really?
I'm not exaggerating. And they just had a way to function being that way. And they knew
well, at
that,
some point that becomes the way that they function, which is
right.
You know, that's
yeah,
weird.
Which is becoming an alcoholic.
But let me.
That happened to Thurman Thomas.
That's insane. Yeah. I remember too. You telling me. I think guys fired up cigarettes at halftime, like and before the game.
Biggest
too.
Surprise ever to me. First game in the NFL preseason game. I had no idea what to expect. I didn't even play in the first half.
Right.
So I was just watching.
Yeah, it's a preseason game. Yeah.
It's the first preseason game. I'm a rookie quarterback. I'm watching Dan Marino play a whole half of football, and he's playing the Chicago Bears, and of course it's Mike Singletary and all the guys, and that, you know, my eyes are just as big as quarters.
But people aren't really going 100% those starters because it's the preseason.
Alex, I didn't know that. All I knew was the first game I was in. I thought this
right.
is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
So we go in at halftime, and I would say 80% of the team lights up a cigarette as soon as we get in the locker room.
That's insane.
And they're all just like, boy, I'm so out of shape. And, oh, I got to get, you know, this, you know, because it's the first game that you have.
Do you think that kind of stuff still happens in 2021?
By the time my career ended, nobody smoked.
You couldn't. Was it a league mandate too? Can't do any of that stuff?
No. I don't. I never was told. There was never anything. Now, there were things like you can't represent beer companies
right.
in endorsements. There's no gambling. There's no association. I mean, there were things but that was never, hey, you can't smoke. And a lot of coaches smoked even still, you know. But
what was funny, you remember baseball? Like all the games, like, you know, basketball, football, these, you know, you didn't see, you would never see a coach smoking somewhere there on the sidelines in the more recent past. But I remember growing up and watching Sparky Anderson and Jim Leland, or Jim Leland more, I guess.
Professional golfers smoke. I mean, you know, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus. While they're playing.
It's wild. To think about that going into an NFL game and watching guys light up at the at halftime.
They would hold the cigarette inward. So you know, like.
Right. Yeah, almost like they're trying to hide it.
Right.
That's wild. All right. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. Jeremiah Jensen, after news, traffic, and weather, is going to join us. We've got a lot to talk about. Jazz are playing right now. I've got that score update for you. It was so early beforehand, they hadn't even tipped off yet. So let's we'll get you our first score update of the evening. Stay with us. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled, KSL News Radio.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. It's a Freestyle Friday, which means that any subject that sort of catches our attention, we end up just kind of talking about it. So I don't know how we were talking about the NFL playoffs. I was wondering about how Urban Meyer's rah-rah style was going to work out in the NFL, whether it would. And I wondered if even there were, like, you know, if players got excited with, like, a speech in the NFL before games, or if speeches were just so passe by the time you get to be pros, at which point Jeremiah Jensen, Scott, revealed to me that he knew multiple players who drank before games, smoked cigarettes at halftime, all sorts of things to get them ready for the game. JJ, are you there in that booth right there? I can't hear JJ. I don't know what's going on. Do we have him in there? Now he's good?
You got me now.
Oh, now I got you.
I can tell you got me now. Yeah. So, the NFL, a different world, right? And it's fun to hear the insights that Scott can give us about
what took place
sometimes.
So, I don't need your speech.
You may bring a good point, though, because, and this is my biggest concern, and this, I think a lot of college coaches, they're used to control, and they're used to being able to use these motivational tactics that maybe work on teenagers, that work on college players.
Right.
But when you're a professional football player, you're an adult, you don't like to have somebody doing these things. And so and I'm sure Scott can back that up, is it's just a different world where you kind of have to let guys make their own decisions, and some of these things that perhaps worked for Urban at the college level may not work at the NFL level.
He's got to know
that. Wondering.
I mean, he's got to know that, and he's got to know. I don't know
that these coaches necessarily know it. I mean,
Nick Saban found out, right, that it doesn't work.
Yeah.
He failed.
Yeah, he was just and that's how it is. So some guys are just good college coaches, and some guys are good NFL coaches, and some guys are not good at either. But, you know, when you get to the NFL, you don't say, you know, I play well because my coach really pumps me up, and you're not motivated by that. You're motivated by your legacy. You're motivated by there's this insane, like, whatever, your DNA or of competing and winning. You don't want to lose, and so you don't need anybody to remind you of that or to get you ready for that. I mean, most guys, I know for me, I started getting ready for a game like on Thursday, or even, you know, your body just starts getting into this place. And it was kind of a joke in my family. It's just like, you know, it's game day. Don't talk to Scott. Don't even look at him. Don't even, you know, and that was for years. I mean, you know, Chris Spielman, who was a crazy linebacker, played at Ohio State. We played in Detroit together. Chris Spielman was like, you know, he was just an insane guy that, I mean, you talk about going to a dark place. He was
not to be able to get jacked up.
You remember Hacksaw Reynolds, who played for the 49ers?
Yes.
And Ronnie Lott says Hacksaw Reynolds changed the entire culture of the San Francisco 49ers, and he would show up at the pregame meal in his uniform and his helmet.
That's hilarious.
And it wasn't a joke. And people really quickly go, this dude is whacked.
So when Ronnie Lott tells you your preparation and intensity is a little too much.
Yeah, you might want to dial it down a skosh.
Oh, no. Ronnie Lott loves Hacksaw Reynolds and loves his energy.
That's cool. That's awesome.
I mean, it's probably had to channel a little bit of that when, you know, with Fingergate. So, JJ, one of the things we wanted to bring up, too, as we're watching the Jazz, who are up 36-27 right now, and the Hawks across the street here. They're doing the, you know, their new, These are the new City Edition jerseys,
yeah.
Right? So they're doing the new floor. I thought that I'd like these more. I kind of don't like them that
really?
Much.
I like them better than the City Edition. I like the black.
The black is kind of cool.
It's just a darker look. Yeah. I think it looks good.
Well,
I was not a big fan of the City Edition uniforms.
They just kind of lost me when they got away from purple.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a traditional. I felt like I was watching the Houston Astros play basketball. I just couldn't get with
there's
it.
There's a little bit of that. Yeah, the old Padres uni, from back in the day. We'll be really upset when they go to brown and they go, hey, a lot of Southern Utah's this color, all
yeah.
right? It's not
so
just the red.
That's your justification for an ugly
Don't
uniform?
Don't even suggest that.
They go, hey, we wanted to really channel Eureka in the wintertime. some browns and
no offense to our listeners in Eureka.
Or Doug Wright.
okay. JJ, as I said, the Jazz are up. They're coming off this East Coast road swing, one of the weird ones where a game gets postponed at the end. We just brush that stuff off now. We go, game postponed, moving on, and they're here back at home. They've won three in a row, and they seem to have gotten a few things in order, including Donovan Mitchell taking over basketball games a little bit more.
Yeah, now that we're at this point in the pandemic where, you know, a postponed game is just par for the course. We're used to it. You roll with it, you move on to the next one, and that's what
makes
the Jazz
you feel
are doing
like,
tonight.
It
what
makes
is
you
the,
feel
what
like
is
they're actually going to play another game. Like, oh, good, they're postponing stuff
right.
So we can see them play again.
Yeah, no,
What is the NBA's policy? Is it just the game is not going to be rescheduled?
They'll postpone them. So you notice that they only scheduled half the season.
Right.
So there's going to be some teams that don't play as many games as others, and I think they're going to try to push those back
balance
and reschedule
out.
Some of those games and create some balance later on.
That's weird.
With the hope that, you know, things are going to get better.
Who gets priority of scheduling? Teams who are, like, playoff bound?
I think they're just kind of trying to figure this out, too. I don't think there's any firm answer on that because how do you know? You just don't know. Like,
right.
All of us right now are living like day to day, right? We're just like, I don't know what's going to happen
well,
tomorrow, but
we'll
I live
out,
hour
we'll
to hour,
out,
Jeremiah.
Right?
Just so you know, I don't even live day to day anymore. So
well, I'm with you, man. I'm with you.
What would be interesting is if the Jazz ended up like, you know, if they're well, depending on what where teams are,
yeah.
You could take a loss or just take no thing. If you're tanking and you say, hey, we'll pre-tank. And it's a pre-tank. It's a new thing in the NBA. We're going to pre-tank. I'll just give us four losses and call me in the morning.
If you're tanking this year, this is kind of throwing a wrinkle in your plans, right? You're getting ready to lose a game, and all of a sudden that loss gets postponed.
It's postponed. That's
got to be pretty frustrating,
that's
right?
That's what I'm saying. They just go straight to a, oh, no, can we just forfeit? Give us
actually,
the old
you know
one
what?
Nothing.
That's okay. They can't play tonight. We're going to take the L for you.
I honestly, the way that pro sports are, you certainly wouldn't put that past any sort of GM or anything. Next hour, we're going to be talking a lot about Urban Meyer and that move to Jacksonville. He says the situation had to be perfect for him to take that gig.
How is that perfect?
That's what I'm asking you. Scott's very hopeful about this. He thinks it was the best job.
Why.
So why is this the perfect hire for Urban Meyer? Convince Jeremiah on this, Scott.
Well, to start with, he has the number one pick in the draft. They have four draft choices in the first 45 picks. Tony Boselli mentioned this earlier today, which I thought was a great point. The Jacksonville roster is 3 years or younger, so it's a really young team. Urban Meyer either recruited, coached, or coached against pretty much the entire Jacksonville roster. They're young players, and they don't have baggage, and he can mold that. He can work with that. He can build that.
What about the baggage?
They got $76 million.
What about the baggage of playing for Jacksonville? That's
there's
baggage.
Not really any baggage with
Come
that.
On. It's just,
no, if look, if you're a player and you and all of us, if I was a player playing for the Jacksonville Jaguars right now, I would be elated because Urban Meyer is a proven winner everywhere he's been. I guarantee he's highly motivated to succeed in the NFL, and he's a guy that's he doesn't take jobs just for the sake of taking a job. Like he didn't go to USC, he didn't go to Texas. And those could have been very attractive, but he needs a new challenge. But he's methodical. He looks through the situation and he goes, can we be competitive and can we be competitive fairly quick? And I believe the answer is yes, he can. I just think he has an idea of who Trevor Lawrence is. And I think he says, this is that generational quarterback and I'm going to get him.
We've got the troll poll up on our KSL Unrivaled Twitter page. So what does Urban Meyer do in the NFL, JJ? I'm going to take your vote right here. Yeah. Super Bowl, flames out, consistent playoff team, or up and down?
Flames out.
Flames out.
Oh, yes. I like that.
I like that because do you want that to happen? Or is it,
no, I'd love to see him succeed, but I just don't. The history of college coaches and that, and you combine that with the franchise and the issues, I don't think it's a situation that could be successful. And you also have an owner that is a little too meddling.
We're going to take a break here.
I wasn't compelling enough for you, JJ?
He just wasn't. It would take convinced. Another segment, Scott.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Jeremiah, catch him tonight on KSL 5 News at 10 o'clock. Sports Beat. You'll see the Jazz highlights and everything else. JJ, thanks for hanging out, man.
You got it.
We'll be right back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
All right. Welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell. Alex Keery, and I believe the Jazz are still winning their basketball game, but, you know.
They are playing a basketball game, Scott. That's a great point. They're currently up 5, 42-37 with 5:32 left in the second quarter.
I didn't really want to.
What?
I don't know. I'm starting to get invested in the Jazz again this season, is what I'm saying. And you know how being a fan is, like, just brutal. It's torturous.
Yeah, it's the worst.
And so
keep your heart out. Hey, listen, just
I'm kind of not paying attention right now because I feel like I really thought the Jazz were going to kind of blow out the Hawks, but now I feel like maybe not.
Well, they're out by as much as 13 in that the beginning of the second quarter, but the Hawks have kind of crawled back in. I think they'll still win this game. It's fine.
Okay,
it's good because Boyan is like he's upset right now. Trae Young has terrible hair, by the way. And, you know, if we could do an all terrible hair in the
NBA.
No,
I have terrible hair right now.
Scott, stop. Ooh. With your – you've got such long hair, all right?
Yeah, that's –
so the rest of us who don't have much, why don't you just get over it, all right? Just, I don't know, maybe take a shower. That's like it's a good start. Speaking of taking a shower, it's our unrivaled MVP. Scott might be the might get an honorable mention if he actually takes a shower because he's been at home for weeks.
How do
on
you
end.
Know that I didn't take a shower?
Because that's you what just I said my hair is super weird right now, man. That's spoken like a guy who
I took a shower today.
Oh, okay? It's a victory!
But it's probably the first shower I've had in
a few
days.
Oh, see now, let's just here say we go. That's all right, case. Our unrivaled MVPs. Here
KSL's
we go.
KSL's unrivaled. The unrivaled MVP. Scott and Alex crowned tonight's most valuable player. According to Scott.
Uh-huh.
According to Alex. Most valuable player.
All right, Scott, where do you want to start? You want to start?
Yeah, I'll start.
All right, go ahead.
In the sense that, look, it's the weekend, right? It's Friday. The playoffs are in, you know, the NFL playoffs, high gear right now. But it's a two-person MVP.
And it's in a honor co-MVP? Of, this is like a Karl like Malone, John Stockton situation back in the All-Star
game? Sure. Yeah, we'll go with that. And it's Tom Brady and Drew Brees. And the reason is these guys aren't 40, right? They're in their 40s. I mean, they're like
42
their,
and 43, respectively.
Kind of mid-40s, right?
Yeah, kind of. And Tom Brady is the 43-year-old, and he's the guy that you know for sure is not going to be retiring anytime soon.
Right, but here's the thing, and here I think this is absolutely just – it's remarkable what they've been able to do. I mean, it's almost surreal. Tom Brady's had tremendous success in the playoffs. His record, his records, everything that he's done is just – might be untouchable. You know, really, I mean, maybe someone comes along and plays a long time, but I don't see any Patriots dynasty brewing anywhere anytime soon. And I just
what
think
if they
that
get
was
Jimmy
kind of
Garoppolo
a,
back? That was my favorite rumor of the day. I haven't.
And so, having been there and having played the position, and knowing how hard it is to win in the NFL, to play the position, to play it for a long time and consistently do that is truly one of the greatest feats I think I've ever witnessed or seen in sports is these guys and how long the longevity, the success they've had. And there's a lot that goes into it, and it's clearly not them. And even Drew Brees recognized that when he kind of hit these milestones. He gave out like 270 footballs to all of the people who had been a significant part of his career and what it had been. And so I just, you know, I was just thinking about it and just knowing and understanding the position and just, you know, it's truly a marvel what these guys have been able to do in their careers.
Let me see. When they both started, I'm trying to think. So Tom Brady,
you were still playing
in 2000.
Yeah.
2001 when Tom Brady came in.
2000 was Tom Brady's rookie year. And the same with Drew Brees. I mean, and it
just
was
just say that you played. Yeah, I played with Tom Brady. No problem. No big deal. Played against Tom Brady. No big deal. That's what your new thing is, Scott. You're going to impress.
Well, no, I'm still looking through my trading cards to see if I can find a rookie Tom Brady.
To see if you can do it.
Because I was at that time.
And that's $500,000, man, if it's the right card. Okay, my MVP, there's a couple in here. Honorable mention goes to the city of Houston, who showed up in a big way on social media and on the internet review sites, and are absolutely slamming James Harden's restaurant with terrible reviews, because you know you would do that. You'd slam, you get mad, and so you go and you try to hit somebody in the pocketbook like a rich athlete, right? Except for here's where Houston may have stepped a little bit out of bounds. The restaurant is not open, actually. It has not been opened yet. It's a brand new restaurant, hasn't been open. Thousands of negative reviews. So there's an honorable mention MVP for the city of Houston. Just fans are the best at being having their feelings hurt.
Yeah, jilted. There's nothing like hell hath no fury like a scorned woman.
Like a fan, right? Who wants to burn a jersey.
But I'm telling you, fans may take the cake on that one. Like,
didn't somebody send you something burned of yours?
Oh yeah, I got all kinds of crazy responses and. It's kind of weird. It's kind of hurtful. Kinda. I'm not going to lie about it, but it's
I'm just laughing at you. You're all, it's hurtful. I'm like, yeah. Ha ha.
Yeah. That's so funny. I remember when I was playing for the Dolphins, and this guy was a marketer, and he had like secured Velda Farms, which is a dairy, and they were using Bob Greasy, so he was promoting milk,
right? Like,
you know.
Yeah.
And I remember the guy telling me, he said, you know, these restaurants and these athletes, it is a hard deal. And he goes, Joe Namath had a restaurant in, and he was seeking my advice. And I said, don't do it. And he was putting his name on this restaurant.
Right.
And the guy said, look, it's terrible. Like, the food is not good. And you just don't want to be associated with that. And Joe Namath at the time was like, yeah, but it's money. And he did it. And so, Don Shula
has famously been made a kajillionaire with his steak restaurants too, though.
Do you know where Don Shula made a kajillion dollars?
Where?
Not in his steakhouse.
Well, but that makes
he was
made
one
money
of the. No, it's good. I love Shula Steakhouse. Amazing. He was one of the original franchise owners of Burger King.
Oh wow, that's a good thing to get on the ground for, huh?
And He did a better job with Burger King than he probably did with his coaching career.
Well, I mean, I think his second marriage, he married into some money. Don Shula, who was already a kajillionaire a billion times over, and then he married into even more money.
Well, here's a smart coach for you, Alex. Okay, you ready for this? Joe Robbie would he'd give him $20,000 for bonuses. You know, this is back when, you know,
when that was a lot of money. Yeah,
Shula would take $12,000 for himself, and then of the rest of the assistants, he goes, here's $8,000.
That's hilarious.
Between all of you. See, that's a smart businessman right there.
That's a head coach.
Keep most of the profits for yourself.
Scott, very quickly, though, my MVP, on the real.
Oh, it's not the Houston City?
It's not Houston. No, no.
I thought it was.
That's my honorable mention. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Now, of course, you know he's become – he's as big of a celebrity as I've ever like seen in my lifetime. You know, he's an icon now.
He's an average college football player. But
okay. Well, he knows that too. Yeah. He knows that too. That's why he became a professional wrestler, because the pro football thing wasn't going to work out. When he was a teenager, he claims that a man helped him out on the streets, and this teenager, who was The Rock Johnson at the time, needed some help, and this guy took him in, and he gave him a couple nights at his house, and he and his wife took care of him for a little bit. And Dwayne The Rock Johnson gifted the man a $70,000 car today. So there you go. He got back to him and said, hey, I'm going to give Bruno this this truck here. So there you go. There's The Rock doing good things. We're going to take the break here. We'll come back. News, traffic, and weather right now on KSL News Radio. Second hour next on KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled. The teams you live for. The sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Happy Friday to you. Second hour of the program. Last hour of the whole week. Scott, you feeling good about it?
No, because I like when our show's on. I have anxiety over the weekend.
You get in a cocoon
show.
And just wait till Monday to roll around?
Can't wait till Monday. All right. Ready to go.
I will say that there's a little bit of that football going away depression that already starts to hit me, even on the divisional weekend.
It's creeping in, isn't it?
Yeah, because I already looked at the schedule and went, oh, those aren't enough games for me to like really... really dig in on the weekend and not do anything. So
I know it's creepy.
The Saturday, tomorrow's game, first game tomorrow starts at like 2:30. I'm like, that means I got to do stuff, Scott, before 2:30. Because my wife's going to go, hey, when's that first game start? I'll go.
Here's what you do, Alex. Well, this is hard for you because you got small kids.
I know.
What you do is you stay up late and then you sleep in. And then you wake up late and you're like, boom.
What do you mean? But when you say sleep in, what time are you talking about? Till
1:30? That's what I'm saying. Well, you know, like 11.
I can't. My body doesn't work like that.
If you stay up late enough, it will.
Scott, I stay up late every night. I stay up till 1 at least every night. But I cannot.
One is nothing.
That's rookie
1
stuff.
O'clock is the new 11 o'clock. Come on.
Everybody, why don't you go ahead. Circadian rhythms be darned. Stay up till 1 o'clock, says Scott Mitchell. We're kicking off our second hour of the show here, though, as we always do. Our 8:05 cut. This is I don't know who this guy is, but I heard that he coached here at Utah some time ago. Urban Meyer getting a job at the Jaguars. This is our 8:05 cut. Let's do it.
The cut at 8:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
It's a guy, Scott, of course, who...
I love this, by the way.
What, that he took a job at the Jags?
I love that these coaches are like, I got to step away from football. I'm just so burned out. Oh. And then two or three years later, it's like they can't help themselves. They cannot help themselves getting back into the fray. And Urban Meyer's just a football coach.
Right.
That's all he is.
And that's the thing. Well, and I'll tell you, though, he's really darn good on TV.
Yeah,
he's kind of the, in terms of like studio hosts, he's like the Tony Romo of the in-studio host for college football. He adds insights that you're like, holy cow, this guy's good.
That are actually insights.
And he's charismatic and he's good at it. So him walking away from that desk on Saturdays will be tough entertainment-wise, you know, for Fox not to have him around. But...
hey, bring Dave Wannstedt back.
Get Dave Wannstedt. Oh, my gosh.
He's right.
So the thing is, though, about Urban Meyer, him getting back into the program, I always wonder about this because this is an experiment that works less than it's successful. And so, but this is a different situation. And so I'm going to start off with some of the audio that he brought up, the reason why this was a good move right now for him to go to the Jags.
NFL has always been an intrigue. I had some opportunities in the past, but just wasn't the right time and then wasn't the right situation. You know, this is, Bill, you know me as well as anybody, is that we have to be in position to go win a game. And I believe this is the place.
NFL, so now you think about it.
He's proved that everywhere he's been. I mean, he's been a guy that's Utah – all the players he had were Ron McBride recruits,
right.
and they were good. He knew he was a place where there were good players. Same thing with Florida and Ohio State. I heard this today, and this is something that I think is even an addition to what Urban Meyer, why Jacksonville is a good fit for him, and why he went there. Most of the players, I think the entire roster now, because they got rid of every veteran player. Is either has been in the league for 3 years or less. And most of them were either, almost all of them, actually, and this is according to Tony Baselli, who's a great offensive lineman for the Jaguars, but he said that most of them were either coached by or coached against or recruited by Urban Meyer. So he knows the roster as it is today. They have the first pick in the draft.
Do you think they'll still take? Likely, do you think they'll still take Trevor Lawrence if that's the case?
I think it's part of why he went there,
because he wants to take.
He goes, I'm around college football all the time, and I know when there's a player that's that generational player. Like they just knew Peyton Manning. I mean, it was almost a no brainer.
Right.
Aside from getting injured. So here you have Trevor Lawrence, who he knows a lot about. I mean, you know, when you talk about a studio analyst, and you know Urban Meyer's a guy that's going to be prepared. He's going to watch these guys, whether he goes to Clemson and watches practice, whether he coached against Trevor Lawrence. He knows the type of player he is. And he goes, that's a guy we can build around, where we can really have a team. And I guarantee you, Urban Meyer, whoever he got as his offensive coordinator, he said, we get our pick in the draft, and we know we're going to take a quarterback in the draft. And there's three or four of them that are pretty decent. And is there one guy in there that's that generational guy? And a lot of people feel that with Trevor Lawrence. But the other side of it for Urban Meyer is his ability to mold these players. They have been jaded. You know, you're in the NFL. You don't even know what you're doing.
That's what I was going to ask you.
The first 3 years, Alex. You're clueless.
Is Urban Meyer, is his personality going to work? Because one of the things he had to say was, I saw him say it today, and I was like, I got to ask Scott about this. Because he said, I'm going to make sure that I'm not a quote-unquote nutcase at practice. Which, you know, he has, like, the reputation of just having.
Yeah, I don't. It's okay if he's a nutcase. Urban Meyer has to be Urban Meyer. And here's the thing about these, a really good coach is hard to find. There are a lot of coaches out there, but there aren't a lot of really good football coaches. And I've had my issues with Urban Meyer, and I've called him on his BS and whatever. But I'm not going to take away from the fact that he is a really good football coach, and he's proven that time and time again. And all these people say, oh, and some guys can't transition to the NFL. Shoot, there's NFL assistants, really good assistants, amazing assistants, who can't transition to being head coaches. There's a unique perspective, a unique person that really has to be that head coach. And Urban Meyer is one of those people. You know your good buddy Ethan Millard? Use a political analogy here. He goes, I don't think Mitt Romney's a good senator. Because being a senator is writing law, right? That's basically what you're doing.
Oh, I've heard him do this. He talks about, like, he's a great governor. He's a great executive.
He's a great executive.
Right.
He's not a senator. And that's kind of how these football coaches are. And I'm just telling you, Alex, whether he's in college, whether he's in high school, whether he's at Bowling Green, or whether he's at Utah or Ohio State, Urban Meyer is a really good football coach, and that will translate.
You know what I hate is when people go, oh, this guy. I can't tell you how many comments that they were like, yeah, maybe it's the almost $12 million a year, dude, that took it, not because you felt like this is a perfect situation. I'm like, don't make a mistake. Urban Meyer, the money had to be perfect too. Right? I mean,
Alex,
all do this.
I don't believe the money part.
I do, absolutely.
I don't. I believe
too much of an ego. He's got too much of an ego to think.
Right, and his ego is his reputation. And so it's not about he's going to get paid. That's not
he is,
even,
like $12 million a year.
I know, but what he is he goes, the most important thing to him was, can I win?
I know, but I'm saying it's not a bad thing. Who cares if he's getting paid $12 million a year? He's earned it. He's after the market bears it.
I'm not gonna debate that or disagree with you. I do. But I'm telling you, the most important thing and decision for him is, can I win here? Above money, above anything else. It's like, cause he's like, why would I go subject myself to being a perennial loser? It's not what he's all about.
Do you think that,
I'm not gonna do that.
What if he goes on and wins the Super Bowl? Where is he on the?
He's a guy like Jimmy Johnson,
of all time kind of guys.
He's a guy like Jimmy. I mean, you know what? When you're in college, Alex, you can't go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Just saying. But you know what? If you're a pro coach, you end up in Canton.
All right. Let's take the break here. We'll come back. There's your 705 cut. When we come back, we've got our weekend. What are the odds? All sorts of stuff going on, of course, with the football playoffs, the Jazz. Got some Olympic stuff to talk about. All sorts of things to bring up in our weekend. What are the odds? You don't want to miss it. It's a Friday edition of KSL's Unrivaled. We'll see you around the corner.
Okie dokie, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery here. As the second hour continues to move on, this old Urban Meyer guy, you know, I hadn't really thought much about what...
Do Utes like claim him as his own, too? They're like, Utah's own Urban Meyer. I mean, he's here for so little time, but he had one of the most amazing seasons in the history of the school, so you kind of...
I mean, he was 22-2.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It was remarkable, and in my conversations with him, because I met with him quite a bit.
Two full seasons here,
and he came to my house in Orlando, Florida, and spent the day, so we went out on the boat. We had a really fun time. Kids swam in the pool. Blah blah blah. Urban Meyer was on his phone, and he had a yellow notepad the entire time, Alex.
What was he writing down?
He was so dialed in to coaching that he was just like, you know, he was like...
He was writing down all the zeros that Florida was going to pay him to go there?
Whatever it was, he was just... And that's what he was. He was married to football. It was 24/7, 365.
Has that changed at all?
And he... No, it's not. No, it won't. No, he... Look, a leopard does not lose his spots.
And a jaguar doesn't either.
No, yeah, jaguar does not lose its spots. And it's kind of an iffy car, just so you know. The jaguar car is not.
It's come back around. Yeah. They've improved. Let me do something here, Scott. We got a weekend. What are the odds here?
Yes, we do.
We've got lots of stuff to play. And I think Urban Meyer's going to come up. So let's, without further ado.
What are the odds? You'll know exactly, more or less, what's going to happen. Probably. What are the odds?
Speaking of Jeopardy, Scott, I got a little choked up watching Ken Jennings do the opening tribute to Alex Trebek as he's guest hosting while they figure out who the long-term guest is going to be. I think he said something cool, too. He got all choked up. I mean, I'm saying this because you and I talked about how we would beat one another at Jeopardy.
Right.
But it's also a game that you can play. Watching Jeff, I got choked up him talking about Alex Trebek, and he said something interesting. He goes, look, we can't – this guy perfected this. He was perfect at this game.
No one's going to replace him.
So you can't replace him. And so don't expect that. But we can honor him by just playing the game that he loved. So I thought, you know what? That's what we're going to do this weekend. I'm going to watch tons of Jeopardy on Netflix. And I'm also going to watch a bunch of football because – that's the game that I love. So there you go.
Did you read the article about the player on Jeopardy?
Yes, it's fascinating.
He'd won the first game.
Right, and then they had to come back to play more.
And so he went home for the weekend.
Yep.
And got on the flight to come back. And literally he goes, I was going down the corridor to get on the airplane, and I got a phone call. And, you know, and Alex Trebek had passed away.
Right.
And so can't tell anybody anything. You can't say anything. You can't.
He filmed Winning with Alex Trebek, and then he came back and had to film with Ken Jennings. Interesting.
Very interesting.
So here's how the game's played here, the What Are the Odds game here. We give you a scenario, and you give us and we give each other the percent chance that thing will or will not happen. Bonus points for using a jersey number from someone in the history of sports that might be recognizable or not. If you're Scott Mitchell, you go, Bill Graham Chapman. He played on the Packers in 1967, and he was number 43.
Warfield. So that's my go-to guy, 42.
I'll start here first. Since we were talking about Urban Meyer, what are the odds that Urban Meyer makes the playoffs before John Gruden does? So you've got a mix here of the Raiders who are under the gun. You've got a mix of the Urban Meyer who comes in and he has a propensity for turning things around lickety split. So what are the odds that Urban Meyer makes the NFL playoffs before John Gruden does?
I'm going to say an 86%.
Whoa.
Oh, before Gruden?
Before Gruden.
Oh yeah.
Urban Meyer before Gruden.
I'll go high. I don't think
really.
Nah. I'll say the old 86% Dante Lavelli.
Wow.
Mr. Glue Fingers.
That sounds disgusting. That sounds like a weird brand of fish sticks that you get over in England. Let me see here. I'm going to go with, I think it's less than 86%. I don't know if it's my, is it your lack of confidence in Gruden, or is it your high confidence in Urban Meyer then?
It's more the high confidence in Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer. Okay.
It's the combination of both. So what happens when you have the combination of both, they call that a perfect storm.
Okay. There you go. I'm going to go with a, I want to give an offensive lineman a nod. I'm going to go with a Nate Newton 61%.
Nate Newton 61%.
There you go.
Okay.
Okay. Give me one, Scott. Give me one to work with here.
What are the odds that, let's see. This is a good one. What are the odds that the Tokyo Olympics go off as planned?
Oh, so a lot of people said, so they polled a lot of the residents who said, put this thing on hold again. Everybody's worried about the new variant strain.
80%.
Like that. They said 80% in the polls that they took said they want to be put on pause again. But money talks, Scott. My heavens, money talks. And so I think they are going to go off as planned. And if there's a country that can do it and do it really, really well, it's Japan. So I'm going to go with I think it's not super high because we're still wondering about everything, but I think the vaccine is going to change a lot for of our lives here in the next 6 months, I hope. I'm going to go with a – but if the Olympians – here's the thing, Scott. If the Olympians have to use the website, the Department of Health website here in the state of Utah to get their vaccines, then we're going to be waiting a longer time. I'm going to go with a – oh, boy. I'm going to go with a Howie Long 75%.
Oh, you think it's going to be high?
Yeah, I think it's a good shot that they're going to do it, that they're still going to do it, because I think Japan can pull this off. And I think that our attitudes will change. Because part of it's just like, oh, I don't think you should do it because I think that's irresponsible. And currently that might feel like that. But whatever iteration they can do of people not being there or spacing people out or whatever, have the athletes vaccinated, let's get this thing going. I think that we're talking about a Howie Long 75%.
Howie Long 75%. I'm not going to go that high. I'm going to go a 55%.
Mm.
But I'm going to go with the old linebacker, the Hangman, Chris Hanberger.
Oh, wow.
55%.
You weren't going to go with Junior Seau, huh? With the 55.
That's easy enough. I'm going super old school.
Okay.
Every pick tonight is super old school.
Okay. Scott, what are the odds Alex Smith returns again for another year?
What are the odds?
Yeah, that's the name of the game. You don't have to say every time.
I know, but I have to think about it in my. Okay, I'll give you one.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good one. I'm going to say tight end John Mackey 88%.
Okay,
that he'll come back. I think Alex
is Mackey old school enough?
Are you kidding? He's like from the Colts back in the 50s.
Oh yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
It's the Mackey Award. That's why.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go with.
He's a heck of a player.
I'm going to go. This is a low, low, low situation. I think a deal's already been made for him to do some TV. I'm going to go.
Really?
It's very. I'm saying this is an interesting one because I'm going to give Drew Brees his own number. 9% chance that he comes back.
Oh, 9% chance that Alex Smith comes back.
No, not Alex Smith. So I'm sorry. I was thinking Drew Brees in my head. It's a Drew Brees, Alex Smith. But it's a Drew Brees 9% that Alex Smith comes back for another
gotcha.
Year. There you go.
Gotcha.
All right. Scott, what are the odds that Deshaun Watson is going to be with the Texans next year? Look, nowadays, these athletes just make a bunch of noise on social media. They end up getting traded.
We never got to talk about this. And I wanted to talk about this. When a player starts getting into front office politics and all that stuff, that's a bad, bad sign.
Well, yeah, but what do you do about it? Like, because
well, I'm just saying
this is your franchise guy.
It's one of those things that you go, probably going to move on from this. Because if a coach comes in and he knows that Deshaun Watson is going to the front office all the time, that coach goes, this guy doesn't have my back. This guy is going to go run to daddy and say, you know, get rid of Uncle Frank here because he's not, you know, not doing the job. Coaches hate it. And you get a reputation as a player like that, as a coach killing player, it's a death sentence. And I strongly advise Deshaun Watson to stay out of the front office and
give me a number.
Quarterback. All right, Lance Allworth, 24%.
Okay. I'm gonna go I bet he's gonna
give
be
me a number.
He's gonna end up being there. I'm gonna go with a with a Michael Irvin 88% chance he's back in Houston next year.
You know, Lance Allworth was named Bambi.
The worst nicknames ever in the past.
But I know, but he was.
All right, let's take the break here. We'll come back. More to go. Oh, second half of the hour next. Stay with us.
Oh, hey, let's do it.
KSL's Unrivaled. The Unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A pro football stories from your two hosts, a former NFL quarterback and the other guy. It's the Unrivaled NFL Roundup.
All right, welcome back. It's the NFL Roundup. On a weekend of divisional playoffs, the NFL playoffs are just my favorite. These weekends are awesome. The tough thing is that you have these really good games, and you still might have some things going on a Saturday afternoon, and you have to cancel all those things because you still are going to watch football. Sorry, I know your niece is getting married, honey. I've got to figure this thing out. Can we zoom into the ceremony? How do we do this?
That's why you have you tape record it or you watch it.
Tape record it.
What? Tape record it.
It's like my kid asked me if we had scissors when I was growing up. I hate that guy.
So you DVR it.
There you go.
Or you watch it on your phone in your pocket during the ceremony. Come on.
Oh, the game. I thought you were saying watch the ceremony in my pocket while I watch the game.
No.
That's a big 2021 move. You zoom into stuff while you're watching things on TV from your house.
Is this a Teams call? Is this wedding?
I don't
on Zoom?
See. Could I don't we, see a we... Scott Mitchell's face on here. Scott, are you there? Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and just keep the video off, and I'm muted. Don't talk to me.
I have COVID.
I'm here.
You
in
can't
spirit.
See me, right? It's like you'll get contagious.
I'm here in spirit. Just don't ask me any questions.
Yeah.
I had that happen the other day when somebody was like. Oh, Alex is here. Alex, why don't you weigh in on that? And I'm like fumbling around. I'm like, no, I don't want to.
Hey, Alex, why don't you give us the opening prayer?
Yeah. Alex, you have pants on. You seem to have some pants on. No, I don't. let me see here. Oh, I was thinking about the Olympics, the Japanese Olympics, the Tokyo Olympics. And... What?
Japanese.
I don't know why I said that.
Like
I'm not saying
a
like,
special type of Olympics.
No, it's not. There's
you have
not
the
like,
Olympics and then you have Japanese
yeah,
Olympics.
No, the sushi's amazing. Like, no, it is just the Tokyo Olympics. Fine.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about the Olympics and I was thinking about winter versus summer Olympics. And to the average observer, Scott, the summer Olympics kind of win bar none. In a lot of people's minds, they think the 100-meter dash, they think about the track and field.
Swimming's a big deal.
Swimming's huge. Yeah. And you're never into swimming in your entire life until you watch the Olympics.
I like swimming.
But I think Winter Olympics wins it for me.
I love the Winter Olympics.
I love it. And maybe it's because it was here in Utah, and I wasn't here during that. But I have this desire for all the events I think overall are more watchable than the Summer Olympics.
Yeah.
Like I'm watching bobsled. The split times on the bobsled in the different sections.
I'm
going nuts.
It's so fun.
And so there's nothing comparable in the summer. I mean, they have like the BMX stuff now and they have some of these X Games type things. But
they have golf in the summer.
Olympic golf is like.
How can you
remember when baseball?
How can you
was
say that with a straight? I know. How can you say it with a straight face? Come on,
it's
come
pretty
on.
Garbage. Plus, like somebody wins a silver medal in golf in the Olympics, and people go, "Yeah, okay,
is
whatever.
That even possible?"
Anyway, I'm just saying.
But the figure skating is awesome because you're like.
The more we talk about it, the more I am.
Are they going to fall?
I'm Team Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
Oh
no,
my heavens! I feel so bad. When those guys and gals are out there and the guys, it's the worst when the guy throws the lady and he spins her like, you know, at 1,000 miles an hour. And the worst is when the commentators are like, they have been perfect in this routine all year. Oh, she went down. Oh, so she's not going to be able to. And I'm like, first of all, if I fall that distance onto ice, we both break the ice and me. And I'm like, I don't know how
sheet
they survive.
Just cracks.
I don't know how they're cut to. They're not cut to bits because they're sliding along that scratchy ice. Anyway,
makes me nervous?
What
is? How do I say this gracefully?
Oh boy, don't. Cause this is a family show.
No, I'll be able to say it gracefully. You'll get the gist.
Okay.
It's the gymnastics.
And
the uniform of the gymnast.
Comfortable looking.
It just makes
not
me
comfortable looking.
Really, really uncomfortable.
It makes your eyes water.
It's almost unwatchable. Not gonna
Well, work. Here's the thing is I'm thinking to myself, I have a hard time sometimes cinching up my belt. Imagine trying to put on something that tight.
that could be a Summer Olympic event.
Yes. Film it.
It's the fat guy putting on the gymnast.
Oh, he's on the ground. He's on the ground.
He's tripped. He's fallen.
He's thrusting. He's on the ground. It's a technique. He's thrusting into the air, trying to pull on the belt from there.
The whole uniform fits on one of his legs.
God, this is why I can't stand us on Fridays. All right, we can't take ourselves seriously. Tennessee offensive coordinator Arthur Smith is the new Falcons head coach, and you had that exact reaction when we were talking about it during show prep. You're like, "Who is this guy?" And you were mad about it. And then I have to remind you. We also get mad when it's just the same old retreads in coaching. So which one is it,
Scott? I want personality. I really do. I don't care about the retreads. I mean, look, Adam Gase was an absolute disaster for the New York Jets, but those eyeballs in his press conference, that was interesting, okay? Arthur Smith, come on. It's like, it's the most bland name in the world.
Sounds like a guy who works at GE for 40 years.
I know there's a big push in the NFL for these young coaches, and if you're over 35, you're too old to coach. And I don't know. There's good coaches have had a lot of wisdom, a lot of experience. It's just like, in 2 or 3 years, they're going to be looking for another coach. And that's what it feels like to me. I'm just saying.
Miles Garrett from the Browns said he is quote unquote due for a big game. He hasn't had a sack in the past two games. I think he's had a little bit of injury. How much of an impact?
And he probably is double teamed. I mean, he's a
That's
really
what I'm saying
player,
is that so. they that's part of the – like when Aaron Donald is at his best, he might not have a sack during the game. What he does is the Rams end up – I mean, every team has to just plan for you. They have to game plan for you, which means everything else gets screwed up.
It's like saying, well, our team's going to play with 11 guys. And your team's going to play with 10 because you have to double team them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're going to get sacks. I mean, they're going to disrupt the game. And I mean, I remember we always had to game plan for guys like Bruce Smith or Reggie White. And then you go, well, you know, there's another guy you're not going to get out in on a pass play or you're going to be limited in some of the things you can do. Even if he gets a sack or not, his impact in the game is massive. Quit complaining.
This is a tough one. I don't like this story, but I mean, we talk about it. But Josh Gordon has been suspended by the NFL indefinitely again for what seems like the 50th time. More substance abuse issues. Like every time he tries to get reinstated, I mean, obviously he's got to keep being drug tested, and he failed again. It's just another, you know, and his agent talked about it being another slip up in his recovery from addiction. There's one thing to think to yourself. Oh man, this millionaire guy, he blew up his life doing this stuff. This is how bad it can get. And I feel bad for Josh Gordon. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know how many times you can tell himself, he's 29 now. I don't know how many times you can tell yourself, oh yeah, now I'm going to turn it around this time.
Yeah, I mean, some people just can't get out of their own way.
Ugh.
And being in that environment, it's not the cure. You know, hey, give him another chance and that will be the cure for this guy. I will just tell you, in my era, which ended 20 years ago, drugs, recreationally and performance enhancing drugs, were a massive issue back then, and I guarantee you it hasn't changed. So he's in an environment where the cat's in the canary, you know, cage, and it's just so
That's
hard.
A good metaphor.
It is, because you know the cat's in there, he's gonna eat the canary.
Cat's, I mean, in just, the cradle too. Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's just hard. It's so hard when you have that issue to be in an environment where it's you're almost guaranteed to fail.
I hate it too because it's like an actual. He's hurting himself. If it's a thing where, you know, sometimes when guys commit crimes and in domestic abuse or whatever, you go, that guy's a dirtbag. There's one where you go, oh man, this guy,
just feel compassion.
He has no power over this, zero now, and we have to watch the whole thing in the public. So I hope he does. I hope he turns it around. Let's take the break here. We'll come back. I got more to talk about. 2 minute drill coming up around the corner. That's going to wrap the show up when we come back. So stay right here with us.
Oh my goodness.
KSL's Unrivaled, KSL News Radio.
Hey, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery here, and I believe we have joining us all the way from Idaho is Taysom Hill. Is that correct?
Now for letters to Taysom Hill.
Dear Taysom, it seems like you play every position. QB, running back, tight end. Why don't you just make up your mind already? Sincerely, Tom. Hey, Tom. Football is like an Idaho potato.
Oh.
Sure, you could just bake that potato, and it would be delicious.
It looks fake.
But sometimes you want fries or tots or potatoes au gratin.
Tots.
And it would be selfish for me as a player to deprive my teammates of potatoes au gratin.
Come
if
on,
you're,
now.
If you're from Idaho, you put those tots in the pocket right there.
Play like you're a potato. That's what the actual thing says in the commercial.
You know, life is like a baked potato.
Well, welcome back, by the way. It's KSL's Unrivaled. And there's Taysom Hill, like you said, Scott. Here's the thing. And this is a guy who went to Highland High School in
Pocatello.
Is that in Pocatello?
Yeah.
So he's in deep potato country there. At some point, though, like, you're doing a favor to, like, your cousin, you know? Like, I don't know. I mean, in my mind, does the governor call you and say, we've got a potato campaign, you know? And you go, I don't know. Image-wise, I will say congrats because they got the most energy out of Taysom in a commercial than I've heard in a long time.
Well, and...
He was never the best interviewer. And then honestly, he does these commercials for a car dealership, I think, here locally, and he's like, that's why you want to go in and take your car there, because I trust them. And you're like, dude, whatever, you know. But I get it. You and your professional athlete, Scott, with your endorsements, I don't know. Here's the thing. At least he probably does believe that the Idaho potato is, in fact, versatile and tasty, because I think we can all get on board with that.
Well, it feels like he's in his college apartment.
It looks like, yes. I was like, what? Didn't you get a $10 million signing bonus?
I don't know, better place. It's like maybe he could be sitting, I don't know, outside by his pool or something. And I know that maybe that doesn't resonate.
Maybe that's
with
not
folks
his vibe.
Idaho.
Yeah. But it does definitely look like it's like he's in Rexburg at a shared apartment.
It looks like an old couch.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
And there's like community kitchen back
there. For Micah,
there.
Yes, with the old.
Yeah. Come on, Taysom. Yeah. Look, we get you do the home. You're trying to do the homegrown thing.
Yeah.
Just come to us live from the mansion next time, would you? Let's go.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If you play in New Orleans, or Scott, in the cities that you lived in, were you like planted there? Do you think Taysom lives there full time, or is it just that's just his
in-season
living?
Yeah, well, they have such extensive off-season programs. Most of the players are pretty committed to wherever they live, and which would be hard let's face it, New Orleans, I think you have to be in some kind of altered state to really enjoy being there. Because if you're a normal person, I would never live.
If you're a normal person,
I would never live in New Orleans. It's
your only experience going there and playing.
I've been there. No. I have been to New Orleans quite a few times. Getting a beignet at Cafe Du Monde is amazing.
Du Monde.
But some of the ghost tours and the cemeteries, very cool. But
Scott, if you want me to put some powdered sugar on a scone, I'll do it. That's it. That's all that is.
Oh, but it's different from there. I'm just telling you.
I know. I'm trying to be
semi-offensive.
It's a real
thing. Yeah. Now, there are places around that are amazing. Like,
I'm sure they are.
Unbelievable fishing and things like that. And
I get
that
it.
That part of the country.
I get it.
New Orleans is a tough one.
Scott, here we go. Firing up our two-minute drill here. That means it's the end of our program, but also we're not done yet, baby. We got to get to the finish line with a lot of stories. Tell people what the old two-minute drill is.
Well, the old two-minute is when you hurry down the field, you got to kick a field goal or score a touchdown. If you're Taysom Hill, sometimes you're running as a tight end, sometimes you're quarterback, sometimes you're a wide receiver, and it's kind of like being a baked potato. But on our show, we've got a lot to talk about, not a lot of time, so we talk a little bit about a lot of things. We finish our show, we win the day, we get a trophy, because everyone gets a trophy. We go home happy wearing a mask.
There you go. Me and safe.
Yep.
Scott, why is it that the... So Kyrie Irving will lose about $1 million, $900,000, as a result of violating the NBA's health and safety protocols that they announced today.
Oh, boy.
That's not insignificant. And I think about it. One thing I've learned about you athletes, you former athletes, is, and the rest of us plebes will sort of look and go, oh, it's fine. You guys get fined all the time. So here's the thing.
I hated it. I never was ever fined.
I know.
And I see this, and it makes me cringe. It makes me cringe so much because it's such a lack of, like responsibility and respect for, like, money. Because it's hard. You know what? It's hard to make $1 million. It's so hard to do that. And just to flippantly go, yeah, I just kind of am lazy, and I want to go out and do whatever I want to do. I don't care about my team. I don't care about my job. I'm indifferent to all of this. It's just so selfish and so just, just lazy and just no lack of respect for your team. I mean, you know, this team talks about gelling together, and they have a player, a high profile player, that's just kind of indifferent to everything. I just hate it, and it just upsets me to no end when I see stuff.
Well,
like
I watched one of the infamous. It was like, I think maybe 6 years ago today, or maybe to next week or something. They showed the Marshawn Lynch video of him at the Super Bowl where he famously showed up. And what did he say, Scott? I'm here so I don't get fined. And he did 6.5 minutes of interviews with the media that every answer was, I'm just here so I don't get fined. I'm just here so I don't get fined. And people are like, so you're facing this defense. And then one of those, like, kids, you know, at the Super Bowl who are like the kid interviewers. He's
right.
Like, hey, Marshawn, Billy from, I'm also from Oakland. And Marshawn, like, tips his cap to him and then goes, hey, buddy, I'm just here so I don't get fined. Like, and I thought taking your desire to not be fined to that level. But let me just break the numbers down for you. Kyrie Irving broke the NBA's coronavirus safety protocols. So he's fined $50,000 for that. Fine. But he also missed 2 games. So the $837,000 plus the $50,000, the $837,000 is a 2-game paycheck for Kyrie Irving.
It's just two games. It's just, when you're in it and you know maybe you just don't appreciate or understand just how hard that is, and how much people have to work to make money, and it's just a very selfish thing. It really is. So sad.
So here's the deal. I'm just saying, 2 games, $837,000. So you get $400,000 per, $400,000
per game.
Well,
and you play 75 games.
Oh, yeah. It's a deal.
I don't care. I mean, $50, $20, it doesn't matter. It's the principle of respecting your job.
But I was thinking about how much.
I know the guy, it doesn't matter to him. It's like, whatever.
How much was a big fine for you if you were in the league and you didn't make weight, for example?
It started out at $50 a pound. And by the time I ended, it was like $96.40.
And that was like the league standard. Was it like the team standard or what?
Well, it's set through the collective bargaining agreement.
So $96
so they
per sell, pound.
So here's all the things that are acceptable, like, you know, working conditions, and these players have to toe the line. Like the media, you have to
interview, yeah.
Oh, it's like the media drives our sport. It's why it's popular. It's why you have this paycheck. You're going to make yourself available to the media. It's in your contract. You agree to it. And Marshawn Lynch is really stupid for not giving better answers. It's really one of those evils that you have to kind of embrace and learn to.
Evils? How dare you?
Well,
you're one of us now. How does
Alex,
it feel?
These people, when I was in Detroit, they were absolutely cruel to me.
I think that was it, but because you know why? That
so
was the
you
thing
don't
that
get
played.
Really,
that was the thing that played well
did.
There.
Yeah.
You know,
in
Cleveland's the same way. There are some cities where that doesn't the woe is me thing doesn't play as well.
And I never read the newspaper, but my mom collected every single newspaper clipping, and I not too long ago actually looked through some of it, and it was fascinating to see. When we won, there was this beautiful picture of Barry Sanders on the front page. When we lost, there was me getting crumpled and killed by 5 defensive players. Almost 100% of the time.
Scott, don't get crumpled and killed this weekend by some defensive linemen, okay? So, for Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Keery. Did you have fun this week, Scott?
Oh, yes, I did.
I did, too. We'll be back again on Monday for more KSL's Unrivaled. Stay safe this weekend, everybody.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.